We are very, very excited to introduce Tom Thibodeau as our head basketball coach today. Tom is a guy, you know, all of us know about his defensive credentials, his defensive knowledge. I think that's pretty well known. But as we went about the process and we talked to a number of people that have worked with Tom, a number of people around the league, and then when John and I had a chance to visit with Tom in Los Angeles, the thing that really became apparent to us is that he's got a very, very creative offensive mind, and we really like some of the ideas that he presented as far as using the talent that we have on the offensive end of the floor.
Tell her she's a goddamn whore!
Welcome to Around the Horns, the Chicago Bulls podcast, covering everything Chicago Bulls. This is Alex Piketty, along with my co-host, James Petrick.
Hey.
You can get at us right away, Twitter, at ATHBulls. You can get at me personally, at AP Dogtown. The iTunes podcast, as you know, is Around the Horns. That is the name of it. You can download all our podcasts there. This is the first one we're doing. And, yeah, that was courtesy of Bulls.com, that Gar Foreman press conference, as he introduced Tom Thibodeau.
What's happy Tom like? Thibodeau.
Yeah, that
very
was,
happy Tom Thibodeau.
Smiling and so excited to be here. What has happened over the last 5 years? All he's done is win almost 50 games a year, and now everybody wants
numbers don't lie. The numbers do not lie. He's been a very successful coach in Chicago. No doubt about that, but it seems that the personalities, that seems to be the issue right now with Gar, Pax, and Thibs. So,
yeah, and I heard something about the lack of playing from Doug McDermott this year and how that was a big thing. Like, they drafted him to play this year, and Thibodeau has no interest in putting him anywhere near the basketball court. So that could be one part of it. I don't know about that.
Well, one thing I was going to say about that, the development, they constantly say, people criticize Tom Thibodeau about his development. Look at Jimmy Butler. Look what he's become. 20 points per game plus this year. Most improved player. That's coaching. A lot of that is coaching. Tony Snell, took him a while to get in. Look what he's become now. I would say a great defender. He can be a great defender in games. Hasn't really been given enough opportunities yet. That might be Tom. He's got to stick to his guns. Kirk Heinrich, got to drag him out on the floor and get him to play. But I think it's going to take some time for Doug McDermott. Defensively, he was not ready this year. And when he would come in, his shot, I mean, he wasn't hitting shots very well either.
Yep, and when you give up two first-round picks and take a guy, you expect something out of him. But, you know, it's early on. You know, Thibodeau is going to give him a year to kind of just adjust to the NBA life. And then we'll see. Maybe next year he'll get more into the rotation. But it's just kind of like everybody. Jimmy didn't play a lot his first year, and I think he gives guys a little bit more time. So rather than come out and fall on your face as a rookie, you have a little bit more time to get comfortable with the guys and just kind of get back into, you know, becoming a better player over time. So, yeah, so what we want to start off here is this is our first podcast, so we're in, you know, going into game five of the second round of the playoffs, so we want to make sure that we're giving you guys exactly what you want to hear. You know, we want to be just Chicago Bulls. We're not going to suck up to anybody, or if Thibodeau has a terrible game, we're going to call it out. If Rose has a great game or a horrible game,
we'll hang him right out in the crowd for everyone to see.
It will not be hidden, and we don't have anybody to stand up for.
It's going
to
be ugly.
Yeah, so basically, series recap so far. What do you got, James?
Well, tied at two apiece, and the first two games. The first game, I really thought Chicago dominated that game, and it was close because the final score was close because Chicago likes to play down to their opponent and let everybody back into games. And I was thinking about that for Chicago this year. It's like there's two different teams. Either the team that plays down to their competition, as far as Chicago, they either play down to their competition or they're that amazing team that can go on 10, 15-point runs, but then they just can't sustain it. It's possession to possession with them. It's not even game to game. You have no idea what's going to happen with this team sometimes, and they're just very unreliable right now offensively.
Yeah, but we saw it in game four. Stretches in the game where you score 0 points and Cleveland scores 15, or you go on a 13.
7-minute drought they went on.
Yep, and they missed 13 of 13 shots. So, I mean, when they're not going down, they're not going down. And you know, part of that could have been, you know, the lack of Pau Gasol on offense. So you basically have Gibson, who's not, you know, an offensive player, and Noah, who pretty much has no offensive ability right now in his season. And you have LeBron James guarding one of the guards, so you have almost nothing out of him, and Dunleavy can get shadowed by somebody. So,
and Nico Mirotic, I've been saying it really the entire playoffs. I was thinking I would love to see Nico with some more playing time, and it looks like Tom finally has decided, yes, I have to now with Gasol out. So they're rotating the ball nicely in the third quarter there. And Nico just decides to airball the 3-point shot. So, you know, he's young, but very streaky right now and very unreliable. And I'd like to see him get a little more confidence in that shot, because if he's shooting the ball well, they can definitely go far in the playoffs.
Yep, and just being able to have him playing power forward spreads the floor in a way that, you know, Taj Gibson cannot do it.
Exactly.
Or even Pau Gasol is not going to move like Mirotic and be able to help, you know. I mean, Pau, we saw it in game one. Pau and Derrick Rose had a good, you know, pick and roll going, and Pau was left open a lot. And even some of the wing players were open when they would, you know, rotate to the wrong player. And with Mirotic, it is streaky. I mean, you know, he had a pretty decent game in the win on Friday. Grabbing 8 rebounds, 12 points, and then you saw him kind of go the opposite way, where he had 3 points on 1 of 9 shooting, and that's just not going to cut it when you have one of your main offensive players, Pau Gasol, out, and you're playing 18 minutes, and you're expected to make a contribution.
And let me ask you this. Yesterday, 7-minute drought where they couldn't make a basket. Pau Gasol in that lineup, you think that happens?
Well, I think it definitely gives him a different option. I mean, one of the things that it could do is, you know, you saw when Pau was able to come out towards the top of the key, at least opens up the lane for Rose to drive in or Butler to drive in, which they didn't do at all during that drought. It was pass around a couple times. Derek didn't even handle the ball half the time during that stretch, which was just so frustrating because you need your best offensive players to have the ball. And when Jimmy's just dead tired from chasing LeBron around for 44 minutes.
I thought he would just... did a great job on LeBron yesterday.
Yeah, not taking any. Yeah, he's great.
10 for 30, I think, LeBron shot.
10 for 30, and you know, obviously before that last shot, which he closed out great on, but before that he was 9 of 29. So, I mean, you know, not a great shooting performance from LeBron. I mean, you know, adds 8 assists and, what, 14, 15 rebounds. So he's the greatest player in the world. But, you know, Jimmy's doing all he can to frustrate him. And, you know, that's one of the things, though. You know, when you have Thibodeau basically giving you the fact that anytime LeBron comes off the floor, there goes Jimmy. So I know that as soon as LeBron comes off, I don't have to worry about Jimmy on offense if I'm the Cleveland's coach. So that's frustrating because Jimmy never gets any time that he's not on the floor with LeBron. He's always either being mugged by him, trying to keep up with him.
Oh, and LeBron's a freight train coming down that lane. My goodness.
Yeah, you know, pretty much.
I was so happy Joakim Noah caught him with the charge there because he was lowering his shoulder a lot yesterday and Bulls finally got a call to go their way. But
yep, and when Rose decided to get in front of him and take a charge there, it was as LeBron, you know, all 260 pounds of him, you know, this freak athlete looks like he's about to be, you know, buried in the ground. The Cavaliers fans are just, you know, their reaction had to be something like this.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No!
So pretty much, I mean, that's like the worst fear ever. I mean, you got Kevin Love out, Kyrie Irving, which we can bring up a little bit. Kyrie Irving is
he's got one leg.
He's got one leg, and he doesn't touch the ball on offense, and he doesn't really care on defense. So, I mean, that is a major problem because
you still couldn't beat Cleveland. You still couldn't beat them yesterday. You got to win that game. You had them on the ropes the whole game. You have to close it.
I mean,
and that was a tremendous shot by LeBron.
Exactly. What are you going to do? Jimmy closed him out.
You lost the game early, though, when you went on a 7-point drought or a 7-minute drought with no points. It's just unacceptable with that lineup. I mean, there's guys on Cleveland you really don't have to guard defensively. So offensively, you should be ready to go. Matthew Dellavedova is a disgrace.
He's a terrible player.
All he is a spot-up 3-point shooter, and a lot of those guys are. So defensively, how much effort are you really, how much effort are you really putting forth? LeBron James was driving to the rim. The other four players on the team are standing there watching him. Kyrie Irving didn't have much in the tank yesterday. You could see it. He was definitely struggling out on the floor.
Yeah, so let's take a look at this. So game one, Kyrie, healthy, 30 points, 6 assists, got to the free throw line, made 9 of 9, 10 of 23 shooting. So not a great shooting performance, but put up 30 points, kept him in the game. I mean, LeBron was a distributor in that game. He almost had a triple-double, but didn't score over 20. But Kyrie was great in the first game. And then, you know, as we get into the third game, the game that the Bulls won on Derrick Rose's game winner, let's see, Kyrie Irving was 3 of 13 for 11 points. He was a minus 8. So you've seen Kyrie become basically background noise.
And he said he won't sit out. He's not sitting out next game.
So and you gotta this is when it comes down to, okay, LeBron James is the best player in the league. Look at the other players on the Cleveland Cavaliers. There was a time in game 4 and game 3 when the lineup was Mozgov, James Jones, Matthew Dellavedova, Tristan Thompson, and J.R. Smith. What the hell is going on? If those five people are on the floor, you have to find a way to score or at least cut the deficit. And the thing is, LeBron was getting four. You know, he sat out for 4 minutes on Friday, so he played 44 minutes. And when he was out of the game, they didn't have any more ground to make up than when he left. And that's just inexcusable. I'm looking around the court.
It was
Take
just
advantage
unacceptable.
Of these guys. It's just ridiculous that
84 points offensively versus this Cleveland team right now. It can't happen. And I understand Tristan Thompson's inside just pounding your big men, just dominating.
Yep. And you got to just box out. I mean, just put a just stay. I mean, you just got to give some kind of effort.
Think about this: Tristan Thompson and Timofey Mozgov. What are they making, a fifth of the salary of Joakim Noah and Taj Gibson?
Yeah.
And they are dominating them completely.
Guess what? If we win this series, it's going to be Marcin Gortat and Nene, and they're a little bit better than Timofey Mozgov and Tristan Thompson.
You got a problem.
And that's going to be a major problem for Noah and Mirotić and whatever defensive whatever he's got going on.
Nene really pounded your first team all center last year. Joakim Noah, he threw him around like a rag doll.
Yeah, that whole defensive player of the year thing has gone down pretty quickly. So, I mean, but think about it. So, think about the matchups that you can exploit here. James Jones.
You have to attack him.
He can shoot a three, but he can't play defense. He should not be playing on an NBA playoff team. Matthew Dellavedova,
Well, let me talk about James Jones.
Gosh, that's just crazy.
And the only time Nikola Mirotić was able to play yesterday is when James Jones basically was on the floor, because that's pretty much the only guy he can guard defensively.
Yeah. Stand here and
But offensively, he has to exploit him, and he was just horrible yesterday.
Yep, he was just off. I mean,
air balls, the three, the best rotation of the game. The Bulls moving the ball around. There's Nikola wide open on the three-point line. Air balls. You got to at least hit the rim. You're in the NBA here. Come on now.
Yeah, which is just bizarre because he seems like a pretty decent shooter, and he can get some pretty decent shooting games.
Just doesn't look comfortable out there, though.
And maybe it's because of the lack of minutes. I mean, this is the first time he's playing extended minutes.
Yeah.
Probably in quite a while if you look back to the last series
And that's our guy Tom Thibodeau there. Spotty minutes for everyone on the bench, and I just sometimes it seems like the bench players get out of rhythm. You know, they sit out so many games, and Tom still hasn't decided on his lineups. He still, you know, you don't know who's ever going to enter the floor with each other.
Yeah.
There isn't any rotations. It's just, oh, well, here's Kirk coming in now because I got to get him some minutes.
Yeah.
Drag him out there and have him hard foul LeBron James. You know, it's just, and actually Kirk played pretty well last game. I was surprised with that. Hit a few open threes, played pretty good defense, but, you know, they just have to do a better job with the rotations.
Yeah. I mean, and rotations, you go, Tony Snell, game three, 14 minutes. Excuse me. Game two, 14 minutes. Game three, less than 1 minute. And then game four, 17. So Tony Snell is, you know, you could either play a quarter of the game or more, or you could just play for 30 seconds. So, I mean, how are you supposed to have any rhythm? And then when you do get on the floor, you're worried that your air ball could mean that you're not playing for the next game. So, I mean, the immense amount of pressure just to get back in the game. And you know, going back to that, you know, I think that Tom Thibodeau is the best coach for this team, and I don't think that you're going to find anyone that's going to get nearly as much out of his players if you let him go. And I don't know how you feel, but
he's a great tactician. He really is. He knows the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side, obviously, with one of the best defensive teams Chicago's seen in a long time. But it's just, you know, his lineups are questionable at times. You know, who he puts in, when. His time management isn't always the best in certain games, and you know it's questionable what he's doing out there. It's really, I don't know, head scratching sometimes with him.
I agree, but the thing I go back to is, I mean, look at some of the other coaches that, you know, Scott Brooks went to a finals, and it's so much more about, I mean, it's just about the players in the NBA.
The average NBA coaching span in the NBA is just a year and a half, and I think at this point, If you don't, you have to go to the Eastern Conference Finals this year. And if not, I just, you know, it might just be time. He might have just worn out his welcome at this point.
Yeah, and when you have, you know, at some point, okay, now we're on these games are one day off play. And Rose is playing 38-plus minutes a game. You know, he's going to get worn out. Butler's going to get worn out from just –
get Snell minutes.
I know. And that's the thing. What's the worst that's going to happen? LeBron's going to score.
Exactly.
It's not like, you know, Jimmy Butler's holding him to 3 points in a quarter. He's going to score. So you might as well just put – I mean, Tony Snell, you know, he can hit a shot, and then he's got six fouls to give. So
he could foul him twice. If Tony doesn't score a single basket out there, stick him on LeBron James defensively. Give Jimmy Butler a little rest. Let him offensively – be able to take over because he'll be more rested.
Exactly.
He's expanding so much energy defensively, and he still has been great. He really has, but I would like to see him do more offensively because really he has to. It's been him and Rose. They scored the first 18 of their 22 points yesterday offensively, so it really does come down to those two guys driving, penetrating, and either passing or finishing at the rim and going to the free throw line. That's the way Chicago has won these games. They have to attack. It's all about them attacking offensively. And hopefully Pau Gasol can come back next game because they need him offensively. I really don't think you would have saw a 7-minute drought yesterday with no points if Pau Gasol is in that lineup.
Yeah, and the worry for me is that I don't think Pau Gasol is coming back. So, I mean, he's had hamstring problems in the past, and apparently this one, you know, he hasn't done any work today or yesterday or any of the days, you know, since his injury. So
I could see him miss the next game. I could. So it's going to be questionable. But defensively, I really, you know, Pau Gasol is a horrible defensive.
He's basically a revolving door at this point.
My goodness, he's horrible. And I actually thought Chicago had by far their best defensive game yesterday. They actually looked pretty good defensively. When you hold LeBron James 10-30, 10 of 30, that's a really good day because he's usually going to get as many points as he wants whenever he wants, and it's rare that he's not even close to 50% shooting in the game. And Jimmy Butler did a great job on him. Again, I'd like to see Tony Snell get some time on him, though, because that's going to just help Jimmy Butler offensively. All the minutes he's playing, it's just unbelievable.
Yep, and I mean, and like you said, you know, total turnovers for the Cavs, 15. LeBron had 8 turnovers. And we had 17 points off those turnovers. So, yeah, definitely we were able to do that. But, you know, when you look – let me ask you this. So I'm looking at the game yesterday, and in the second quarter, Cleveland shot 14 free throws and the Bulls shot 2. I don't know if I'm not watching the same game, but what do you think about that?
Well, they have LeBron James. That's where you start. He was going to the rim relentlessly and getting there. And if he wasn't making it, he was going to the free throw line, and that's tough to stop. I mean, he's going to get there no matter what. But, again, that's Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler. They have to attack all game. And I've been, you know, I was also thinking it would, you might have to play them not together in the same lineup at all times. Let each of them take turns attacking a little more, and if they're the only guy out there, it puts more pressure on them to attack. And that's, I really believe you have to give Tony Snell more playing time. I know he's not a great offensive player, but defensively he's going to make it a lot better for Jimmy Butler to have a great offensive night. And
yeah, I agree. And we watched game two together, and the Bulls were struggling. And, you know, one of the things about this series that is so crazy is the first game, the Bulls led wire to wire. The Cavs led wire to wire in game two. But, you know, you felt like anybody could have won those games. And one of the things is for a very, very, very short span in the second period, Tony Snell came in and just kind of started guarding LeBron. And, I mean, he forced him into two pretty difficult shots.
That's right.
And then, you know, but after that, it was.
That's when I thought.
I mean, and then basically they stopped doing that. So, I mean, what's the, you know, like we said, what's the worst that could happen if you put Tony Snell on LeBron James? LeBron James is going to score? He was already going to score. Now exactly. At least you have a minute for Jimmy Butler to rest and not have to just. And, I mean, look at it. Jimmy Butler shot 0 free throws yesterday. That's just not acceptable.
You can't win that way. No, absolutely, I mean, can't win that way.
One of the most improved offensive players in the league, and he doesn't get to the free throw line once. That's just you have to get to the line to win in the playoffs, because that's what you do. And if you don't get there, it's embarrassing. And you know,
and offensively, you're not getting any help from Joakim Noah right now. Oh my goodness, what is going on with this guy? I understand he's had some injuries, but.
Yeah, what stat are we got here?
The free throw percentage in the playoffs right now, only 16 free throws, but he's only made 3. So he's at 18% free throw percentage. His rebounds are up. I thought his activity was really good last game.
Yeah,
but
he always going to play hard at home, and, you know, he's going to get the fans riled up.
It's not been good offensively, though. 5.5 points per game in the playoffs. It has to be better. Career, he's a 9.6 points per game.
Yeah.
And the regular season, 7.2. But, again, he's got to be looking to go to the rim at least every now and then. I mean, they're not even respecting him. They're not even looking at him when he's holding the ball in his hands.
And he's against Mozgov, who's just a foul machine. I mean, he's going to foul you. That's what he does. And Noah doesn't even.
And Joakim Noah, as injured as he is, still has more foot speed than Timofey Mozgov. Yeah. The guy's, he's a space eater. All he does is stand down there with his hands up, which he's great at that. But Joakim Noah's got to exploit him just a little bit offensively. They have to get a little more from him. Some of those shots, the alley-oop to Taj Gibson off the backboard, that was a jump shot, though.
Yeah,
that was a layup.
Ugly. That was not intended for an assist. And you know, one of the things is, I actually liked, I think it was game 3, they had Taj at center. I think even Jimmy might have been at power forward with LeBron, and then they could do, I think, Kirk. And then Rose, and it was a very small lineup. That's the point I'm making here. And, I mean, sometimes it's just fine. Just go smaller. Dunleavy was in there. So, I mean, it's not bad to go small against this team. I mean, because you're going to – I mean, just have Taj just run around Mozgov. He's 100 times faster than him. So, I mean, there's
better for your matchups, definitely.
Right, and then you can get out in the break because Gibson's, you know, decent in the fast break offense. So – that's just another option you can have when you can take advantage of someone like Timofey Mozgov, which, you know, we just really have to find a weakness, which there are many, on their defensive end, and just go at it. I mean, you know, Kendrick Perkins played 12 minutes in a playoff game.
And did you see the bench when he finally scored? They they all stood up like they just won the NBA Finals or something. I mean, this guy, he's pathetic offensively.
I'm just waiting for the old hammer of Perkins.
The old hard foul.
Yep, just
eliminate, kill Joakim Noah,
broken
finally
collarbone,
put him out of his misery.
Yep.
I'm surprised Kirk Heinrich is still alive. I thought LeBron James was going to kill him in that game three when he drove down. Kirk Heinrich looked scared for his life.
Yeah, that's...
A couple of years ago when he ran him over, stepped on his chest. Oh, my.
Just almost killed his existence at that
time. I feel bad for him sometimes. I'm surprised LeBron hasn't jumped over Aaron Brooks yet, like John Lucas III back in the old days.
Oh, you mentioned my good buddy Aaron Brooks, who is horrible.
Oh, defensively.
So, okay, let me tell you a story about a guy that game three, you know, we won the game, which is besides the point, because Aaron Brooks played 9 minutes, 1 of 7, 0 for 4 from the three-point line, no assists, no steals, a turnover, and he let Matthew Dellavedova back him down and score on him. That is probably the worst performance a Bull has had this year.
He should never score. He shouldn't.
And it's like Thibodeau knows what he wants to do, and he's just going to do it no matter what the situation is. Aaron Brooks is going to come in right at the beginning of X quarter and come in for Derrick Rose, and then 5 minutes later, Rose is going to come back in, and Aaron Brooks is going to go sit down for a little bit. And it doesn't make any sense because it's just like, you know, it's just not a computer where you're just pressing a button. There's a flow to the game, and just putting a guy in for no reason is just very frustrating to see. And I love Thibodeau, but sometimes you're just wondering what he's thinking.
So possibly no Pau Gasol next game, and that's huge because he is average. He's your third leading scorer right now at 15.1 points per game in the playoffs.
And that's with the half game and the third game.
Exactly, and also just under 10 rebounds a game right now as well. And they need all the help they can get on the rebounding because in each game, whatever team has led in rebounds at the end of the game has won the game. So
yep,
that has to be – I mean, that's always been Tom Thibodeau's biggest thing. I mean, how many years did they lead the league in rebounding? So they're going to have to find rebounding from somebody, and that might mean more people crashing the boards. And, again, that, you know, Nazi Muhammad?
This is what it's come to, huh, with Joakim Noah's sometimes lackluster effort. Without Pau Gasol – it's tough. I mean, you know, in game one when the Bulls pick and roll was just perfect. I mean, 10 of 16, that's just that's great. That's just a great shooting performance.
Do you have to dust off the dinosaur for some rebounding?
Thirty-eight-year-old
Nazi Muhammad. Maybe
we can bring him in to fight Kendrick Perkins to the death.
Oh, that would be a battle. That would be a great battle. Yeah. That would be amazing. But you know, that's again I just believe you got to give Tony Snell some more playing time. I might be wrong. I don't know. But I just feel like defensively he's going to help you. And also rebound, you got to get some more rebounds. And if you have him and Jimmy on the floor together, I think that definitely will help out your rebounding because Taj Gibson, Joakim Noah are just getting thrown around inside. And I thought they played okay last game. Joakim Noah was very active, but Taj, he's just not he doesn't have quite the energy he used to where he could just take over games and on the glass. He kind of fades away now, and, you know, he's a little undersized. Tristan Thompson has just bodies him up.
Yeah, Tristan Thompson's been physically dominating. And
he's a man. Yeah,
and he's bigger than him. He's stronger than him. It seems like he wants it more. And Taj Gibson, you know, you said in energy, you know, he kind of is an energy player, and now game four he starts, he plays 34 minutes.
He's a 30-year-old energy player.
Right, exactly. And, you know, when you're playing 34 minutes as that guy, that's just not going to work. I mean, you can't be expected to have energy for 34 minutes. I mean,
yeah,
unless you're Joakim Noah way, you know, 3 years ago.
Energy and skill, that's kind of where Joakim Noah and Taj Gibson, that's where they lack. They lack the skill part.
And the sad thing is that you don't even really need it in this series. You just have to be... You just have to try or just, you know, get a one or two more rebounds. The games you've lost have not been by much. I mean, you lost 86-84 in the last game. And the other game, yeah, you lost by 15. But, I mean, the game was there for a while, and then it just...
I have to harp on Nikola Mirotic a little more. I know he's a rookie, but 10.2 points a game in the regular season and, let's see, 5.1 points per game in the postseason. And only a 294 field goal percentage. So it's he was your primary scorer off the bench, and you're getting absolutely nothing from him right now. It was he's had a couple flashes of good play at best, but yesterday was just pathetic. And if he makes one or two of those 3-point shots, the Bulls probably win that game. I mean, there might have been a reason why he was open. I don't know if there was, but I don't know if it was just bad defense on Cleveland's part, but he was wide open. He has to knock at least one or two of those down. It was just pathetic yesterday.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I guess just kind of closing up on the last game here. So towards the end of the game, the Cavaliers are inbounding the ball. They have two timeouts left, and they use one of them, and then they go drop their inbound play. David Blatt scribbles on his little chalkboard, and as everyone looks away.
Yes, yeah.
And,
sure. Yeah. Then LeBron runs his play.
So then they try it again, and Joakim Noah denies the inbound pass, and they call their final timeout. So they have no timeouts left, and neither do the Bulls. And there's 18 seconds left, and LeBron James gets the inbounds pass and throws an elbow and almost turns Mike Dunleavy into a cloud of dust, but says he flopped, which, okay, LeBron, you flop on every play. So what are you talking about? Now someone got hit and they flopped? Okay, so
that was more action than we saw in the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight there.
There
we won't even get into that.
A little jab there.
We won't even get in.
So then we go from that. So there's no timeouts left. Rose, now there's a debate that could be had here. 18 seconds left. Go for the win for the three, or take the last shot and go to overtime. Rose makes the layup with 8 seconds left. Right decision?
Well, yeah, you definitely want to try and just tie the game up there at that point, because there's a lot of time left. You don't know what's going to happen. And defensively, who's going to get the ball? LeBron James is going to get the ball, which you have to double LeBron James out of the inbound there with 1.5 seconds left. But LeBron James is going to get the ball to take the shot and win. But you've held him to 9 of 29 shooting. So you're feeling pretty confident defensively, I think, going into that final possession. But that shot he took there, there's nothing you can do about that. That's a Hail Mary prayer, and he's got more athleticism, rises over Butler, and knocked it down.
So going back, LeBron drives. There's some contact under the basket. I'll admit it.
Oh, yeah.
But
he's also lowering the shoulder,
right,
though.
Right, and with 1 second left, I don't think we're calling fouls to get free throws in a tie game at the end of the... So the ball goes out, and there's 0.8 seconds left on the clock. They want to check the clock. So they give Cleveland a timeout. Well, so what I see is the Bulls force the Cavs to take both their timeouts on the inbound pass a couple, 18 seconds earlier, and now they're being punished because Cleveland just gets a timeout that they spent because they had two bad inbounds plays, and then the third one resulted in a turnover.
Not to mention David Blatt was signaling for a timeout with no timeouts left.
Right, which would be a technical foul.
Which, by the way, LeBron James was screaming at him, "We don't have any more timeouts." And, so who's coaching that team?
And by the way, I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but right before they inbound that, so LeBron goes in, drives, the ball goes flying out, he flops around, no foul call, ball's out of bounds, Cleveland ball. As he turns around, he accidentally swings his arm and hits Jimmy Butler, which could have easily been a technical foul.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that just pissed me off to see that, holier than thou, LeBron. Oh, he's so complaining. He just hits Jimmy Butler, pushes him out of the way. It was just like, salt in the wound there as they get an extra timeout, and then they, get this inbound pass, which
David Blatt.
I can't even understand that David Blatt.
How did that guy not get fired midseason? My goodness.
And I've tried to stick up for him a little bit, but
this is a win now team, and David Blatt has no idea what's going on right now.
He is a great coach in Israel.
And he was the guy, wasn't he? I mean, before the season started, David Blatt's the next big thing. He's going to be a great coach, and his time over there in Europe, he's a great coach.
I try to stick up for him. Hey, we don't know. Anytime they win, LeBron. Anytime they lose, it's Blatt's fault. And I tried, hey, maybe this guy isn't that bad. Then I hear the post-game press conference from LeBron. Did you know you were going to get the ball? Well, Blatt drew up the play for me to inbound it. And at that time, I pretty much just turned the TV off and walked out into the ocean and drowned.
Yeah.
Because what are you doing? How do
you drew the play up for Matthew Dellavedova to hit the game winner, probably.
Oh, my gosh. How is that even possible as an NBA? I mean, have you ever watched a game? LeBron, you've watched 90 LeBron James games this year,
and
you were going to have someone else shoot the ball. If they lost after that, they would have killed David Blatt in Cleveland, like, at the stakes, just burned him alive.
And there is a stat that came out today. I don't remember exactly where I saw it, but LeBron James, statistically, there's a stat created that shows LeBron James is probably one of the most clutch playoff performers in the last decade, I believe it was. And yes, there it is. And this is, it's a weighted shot, a playoff weighted shot. And LeBron James, let's see here. He's number one, and I'm not exactly how this works yet. I'm trying to figure this out here. Kobe Bryant's on the bottom, and that surprises me.
That's probably because he's taking like 3 million.
Well, and shots. That's the thing. I thought it might have had to do with the attempts, but it actually isn't. It doesn't have anything to do with the attempts. It has to do with the percentage made.
So, yeah, I mean, that's something we don't think of LeBron for as being clutch, but I guess, you know, when it all comes down to it.
And earlier in his career, he did struggle. But, you know, his jump shot is still, it's still questionable at times. It just, sometimes
yeah, we saw,
it looks
we saw
horrible.
This, no, 9 of 29 before that last shot. I mean, he'll hit him. I mean, he's the best player in the world. He's going to have a jump shot, but you're right. Sometimes it's just, you know, you don't fear it like, you know, a Kobe in his prime or something like that. It's not, you know, you fear more of him going to the lane, which sometimes it seems like he's not willing to do.
And here's the stat now. Okay, I have a better understanding here. It's performance on go-ahead shots in final 5 seconds of fourth quarter or overtime in playoffs, 2001 to 2015. And LeBron James is your number one. He has made 5 of his 10 attempts in those scenarios.
Which is good.
Yeah, it's very good. He's number one. Rashard Lewis, number two. Dirk Nowitzki, number three. Metal World Peace, number four. Hedo Turkoglu, number five. Chris Paul, number six. Derek Fisher, Damian Lillard, Jason Kidd, Boris Diaw, in that order. So, and Kobe Bryant at the very, very bottom of your list, along with Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Richard Hamilton, and Tony Parker.
Yeah, so that's interesting that three of the five are the Spurs guys that have won, you know, 4 championships.
But it's also crazy because how often do we used to say, oh, LeBron can't take the last shot? Skip Bayless?
Yeah, who's all over his job.
Your buddy,
right now.
Your guy.
All over his job.
I know you love Skip Bayless.
Oh, LeBron is such a great player. He makes up for all these mistakes. No, just get out of here.
He hates.
I have him blocked permanently on Twitter. That he's LeBron James's mouth guard.
Well, he actually is always the first one to criticize LeBron and still thinks he's a bad player, but based off of this stat, I'd say he's completely wrong. Can't hit the last shot. He can't make it. Well, you're wrong. Actually, you're wrong because the stats don't lie.
All right, so wrapping up here, game 5. What do you need? What do the Bulls need to do to take it over? What do the Bulls need to come back to? If they can come back to Chicago up 3-2, I have a pretty good feeling about the series. But what do they have to do to get to that point?
Well, the biggest thing, I don't know. Are you going to have Pau Gasol or not? Because that kind of changes everything. But
if they don't, let's say they don't. Let's see.
Gasol. You have to continue to drive and hope for calls. Derrick Rose was attacking the rim earlier in the game on Friday, game 4, and when he was attacking, I just, you know, I was like, wow, I think Chicago is going to take this one. It seemed pretty easy. He was getting to the rim, making shots, passing the ball around. That's how this offense is going to work. That's how you're going to beat Cleveland offensively. You can't play into their hands and only score 84 points in the game because they don't have the offensive firepower that Chicago has right now. Not even close. the shooters, they have a few shooters on that on Cleveland, but besides that, there's one guy who can get to the rim, and that's LeBron James. You held him to 10 of 30, you have to close that game out with a win. But going forward, honestly, the strategy has to stay the same defensively. You did a great job on LeBron James. Offensively, though, honestly, it's going to come down to just making some shots. Nikola Mirotic has to make some shots, because even if Gasol's in there, it's going to be, you're going to see a lot of Nikola Mirotic again. He has to come in ready to make shots. He wasn't very good defensively, and he was horrible offensively. He has to contribute. He was their man off the bench in the regular season, scoring the points. They need him to step up, because there's only so much Jimmy and Derek can do. They were carrying the load offensively. You need to get help in other places, and I think Nikola Mirotic has to be the guy who steps up big in this next game.
Yep, and if you combine him and Dunleavy's shooting in that last game, they're, I think, 2 of 16. So anybody, I mean, just make a couple shots and the game's exactly different. So, yeah, I think the shooting is going to have to improve. I mean, I think that, yeah, maybe getting Snell on LeBron for a minute or two. I know it's not going to happen, but, you know, that might have helped.
Tom's got to stick to his guys.
Yep, and it looks like Powell did not practice today, and it looks like he probably is going to be out tomorrow. But regardless, prediction for the game?
Oh, in Cleveland.
After that win, that crowd's going to be pretty...
I just think pretty... Chicago gave this last game away. There's just, talent-wise, it's Chicago's series to win. And, you know, I do think it will go to a game 7, but I like Chicago in this game. I think they will win, let's say... 100 to 92. That's what I'm predicting.
Okay. And I think that...
What do you have?
It's tough, but...
What do you have?
I just don't see Cleveland losing at home, and I think that it's going to be tough to swallow. I thought the Cavs would win in, like, 6 games.
But they just don't have the offensive firepower anymore.
The thing is that the Bulls, I would not be surprised if they won 2 of these next 3. I just don't see him winning this one. So I'm kind of seeing it, you know, LeBron is going to get a win. I feel like Derrick Rose or Jimmy Butler can get a win. And then it's just going to come down to, is Kyrie Irving going to step up? Is game 7 going to be Pau Gasol? Somebody else is going to have to step up. And, you know, like you said, Mirotic, maybe he makes a couple shots down the stretch to help in a game 7. Or, you know, I think it might go to 7 at this point. So I think Cleveland wins, you know, somewhere around, you know, 6-point game. You know, we're in it, but...
Well, like you said, Nikola Mirotic and Dunleavy, what, 2 for 16, you said?
Yeah.
That just won't happen again.
Yeah.
Nikola Mirotic could have a bad game, and I don't think it'd be as bad as his last game. That was maybe his worst game of the entire season. And you saw in that final game versus the Bucks in game 6. I know we're not talking about the Bucks here, but... When Mike Dunleavy gets rolling early, this Chicago Bulls team is very dangerous offensively, and that's all it takes. You can definitely get one of these shooters going early, and when it comes down to it, the Bulls' role players and secondary players are far better than Cleveland's.
Yep, and you have to take advantage of them when they're out there.
Exactly.
When it's James Jones against anybody, you got to go at him. When it's Dellavedova versus Rose or Dellavedova versus, I mean, you know, Aaron Brooks can't be 1 of 6 or whatever he was when Dellavedova is the guy that's guarding him.
And you have to come out with energy and win the rebound battle. That's what we've said. We said it before. Yep. It's come down to that every game. Whoever wins the rebounding battle.
Joe, get a rebound!
Exactly. You got it. You have to be on the glass. Whoever wins the rebound battle is going to win the game. So going forward, I think Tom will make some adjustments. Who are you going to take? You're going to take Tom Thibodeau or David Blatt making adjustments?
I'm just going to take LeBron James making the adjustments
for
himself.
All right.
But I do think that the Bulls aren't done, but I just think that Cleveland, with the momentum off this game, the Bulls had this game. They would have been up 3-1 with just one to win out of 2.
You have to win
that
game.
One to win out of 3, and...
If you win that game, the series is over. I just LeBron has to expend so much energy for them to.
Yeah, and then he's going to have to put the team on his back for three straight games and not make a mistake.
That's a tough game. But then again, you're probably not going to hold LeBron James a 10 of 30 again either. So I expect better offense from both teams. However, now that Pau Gasol's out, I see that the Bulls' defense is actually a lot better without him. Offensively, they do struggle. But it's a different game when he's not in there because it's the effort now again you're seeing. They have to win by effort more than by skill. When Pau Gasol's in there, the offense comes so much easier, and you can see it. They had stretches at times in the last game where the offense was looking good, but when Pau Gasol's in there, you have three very solid options just to easily give you 20 points every night. Cleveland just can't match that. There's no way. So I think if Pau Gasol's in there, I almost have him as a guaranteed win in this next game.
All right, well, now you know what we think. Feel free to jump at us on Twitter. The handle is at ATHBulls, ATHBulls, and you can get at me at AP Dogtown. The iTunes podcast, like it, subscribe, tell your friends. If you like what we do, let us know. If you thought we should, you know, change something or do something else, let us know that too. Just go on Twitter and let us know what you think, and comment on the iTunes podcast page. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
A little bit more on LeBron James. 1.5 remaining. James for the win. It's gone. LeBron James at the buzzer. Stuns the Chicago Bulls, and the series is tied at two games apiece.